Legislative and Public Affairs Subcommittee meeting, October 11, 2016, at 6:30 p.m. We have the Open Meetings Act posted on the back wall. Anyone's interested in reading it? Quorum call.
Burnett. Fowler.
Here.
John Conway.
Here.
Ray.
Yes.
Chairman.
Here. Item number four, adoption of agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and second. Any discussion? Roll call.
Fowler.
Yes.
John Conway.
Yes.
Ray.
Yes.
Chairman.
Aye. Item number five, proof of publication. I have proof of publication of tonight's meeting. Item number six, review and recommendation on federal government representation contract. John Winkman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The district's longtime federal government relations representative, Bob Weaver, he retired at the end of June. He represented the Lower Platte North, Lower Platte South, and the Papio NRD. And at that time, the district solicited proposals to provide the federal government relations services. We received three bids. The proposal by Water Strategies was deemed the lowest cost and best bid. And so the three NRDs are proposing to their individual boards that we enter into the contract with Water Strategies, LLC. And as you can see, the fees are there. We're requesting a three-year agreement, and the monthly retainer fee is listed. As was the practice before, the fee will be split three ways equally between the three NRDs. Mr. Weaver's contract is about $1,100 a month per each NRD, around $3,300. So you can do the math from what Water Strategies is requesting. Currently, Lower Platte South is the administrator for the agreement or the contract. When Mr. Miyoshi retires next year, probably sometime in June or July, then the Papio and myself will be the administrator of the contract, and so we will switch hands at that time. One thing, too, besides price, we received proposals from Hush Blackwell and then also from Kelly Dry and Warren, which is Congressman Lee Terry's firm now. One thing that Water Strategies, one of the big acquisitions that they had is they hired Steve Stockton, and he was the chief of civil engineering for the Corps at headquarters for a number of years. So now he's in the private sector working for these guys, and this is especially important to us because he knows the ins and outs of the Corps, especially at headquarters, and obviously the right people to talk to and how to write specifications into bills in that sense. There's no more earmarks. You have to be creative. And so he will be a big asset for us at that level. So we are requesting, I believe Lower Platte South has already approved this. It will be on Lower Platte North's board agenda. I don't know if they passed it yet or not. And then this is before you. So we're requesting to enter into the agreement with Water Strategies. So I'd be happy to ask any questions you have.
Can we have a motion?
I'll motion accept staff recommendation.
Second.
Motion second. Anyone from the public wish to comment about this item? Directors?
Director. John, even though John Miyoshi is retiring, is there any good reason to have it switch over to here? I mean, they're going to fill his position at some point in time. I guess he's been doing it. They've been doing it all these
right.
years. They feel an acting wouldn't be able to sign off on a check or what?
It appears out of that group I'm the old guy now. So, and it follows experience, I guess. Glenn was first and then us. And
went from Glenn to John.
And then, we will take that over. I don't think John wanted to settle the new, depending on who they hire or appoint. I don't think he wants to settle with that. Obviously, we would have the most experience dealing with the federal level as well. Paul was part of that process, but Glenn dealt with them mostly. So it would be a good move, I think. So.
Any other questions? Roll call.
Bonner?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
John Conway?
Yes.
Ray?
Yes.
Chairman?
Aye. I think that concludes this committee.
Maybe you said it did, yeah. I'm the old guy now, so yeah.
I'm calling the Programs, Projects, and Operations Subcommittee to order. A copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted outside the door to this room. What's that quorum call, please?
Right.
Here.
Dollar?
Here.
Here.
Yes. Adoption of the agenda?
I move.
Second. Roll call.
Fowler?
Yes.
Caesar?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Aye. Yes. Items. We have a proof of publication of the meeting notice. We have it here, and that'll become part of the permanent records of tonight's meetings. Now moving to item six is an update on the draft Lower Platte River Basin-wide Water Management Plan. Paul Woodward and John Engel, please. This guy in the back row sitting in black shirt.
All right.
Yeah.
Good evening. Okay. I'm going to be quick with a little intro this morning or this evening as to why we're here. The Lower Platte River is a basin-wide water management plan. The coalition has been meeting for about 2 years. There are three different committees that make that up. There's the technical committee, which reviews all the background data and information. The management committee, Marlin has been a big part of. And then there's the directors, coalition board committee. And we've actually gotten to the point where the plan is going to be presented to the coalition board, of which John and Rich sit on next Monday. So we thought it was the end of the next step. That'll introduce John Engel.
Alrighty. John Engel, HDR, 8404 Indian Hills Drive. Give you a little bit of background on the project and the membership of it. The coalition consists of the seven NRDs in the Lower Platte Basin as well as the DNR. When you look at the basin as a whole, the black line there is the outline of the Lower Platte Basin. It encompasses almost in its entirety, the upper and lower Loop NRD, upper Elkhorn, Lower Platte North NRD, a fairly large portion of the Lower Platte South, and then the southwest corner of Patton. You look at the basin, it's a fairly unique planning effort for a number of reasons. One is the extent of it, it's a large basin. But when you look at just physically the variation across that basin from the sand hills and into in the far west to the heavily developed irrigated agriculture in the lower Loop, the lower Elkhorn, the lower Platte North. And then you get to the population centers of Omaha, and MUD, and I have a industrial water supply. You've got the T&E species and stream flow demands, lower Platte. Just a from a physical standpoint as well as the demographics, it's been really unique and a lot of different viewpoints represented by the members of the coach. The purpose of the project and really were the three primary goals of the plan that form the backbone is one, to develop and maintain a water supply use inventory. Based on the best available data and analysis. You can't manage what you can't measure. So we've gone to a lot of effort, and I'll talk about the county quantifying what those supplies and characterizing supplies and use basis. To collect develop a water management plan that maintains a balance between current and future water supplies and demands, again, making sure that we're able to meet demands with our supplies, and develop and implement water use policies and practices that protect existing uses, both surface and groundwater, while allowing future water development. Really gets to responsible management of new uses, new demand. The role of this nationwide plan is really to inform, provide some consistency to each of the member NRDs as they develop, implement, advise individual NRDs, advise amongst the member NRDs. The activities over the last couple of years, short list here, developing the goals and objectives and action items, plan, content, a fairly extensive catalog of existing data and data collection activities that are underway and have been completed throughout the basin. Looking at existing and surface and groundwater controls, both from the NRDs and the DNR that are currently in place. Looked at the DNR's insight methodology. And what that is a database that the department developed that really quantifies supplies, uses, statewide database broken down by basin plot information. We looked at conjunctive management opportunities, again, looking at retiming flows, conjunctive use using surface and groundwater to increase the reliability and availability of both of them. We looked at existing water bank systems that are in place, not only in Nebraska, but throughout the country, the state statutes, Nebraska, some of the existing water banks, how they their administrative framework, how they do their accounting, things like that, potential ability in the lower class. And then, as Paul said, we've had a lot of input from the technical committee. We've had 13 or 15 meetings with the technical committee. We've had 7 or 8 management committees that we've pulled forward. Components of the plan, the purpose and scope, a background basin description, goals and objectives, the guts are in the plan component, action items, and of course, plan review and monitoring protocols for implementation, and the supporting appendices for the document, how does that support you. To cut to the chase, the plan recommendations that are contained really is. Recommendations from member NRDs to track and account for uses using a basin-wide accounting methodology. Conduct annual meetings for coordination and discuss the activities and the uses that have occurred over the year. Both the DNR and the NRDs. Probably the biggest item and the biggest commitment, I would say, is this third one, which is a commitment to over the next 5 years, first plan, is to limit the cumulative development to be 10% of the excess flows that are currently existing. And then finally, a commitment in 5 years, coincident with the DNR update of the site database, to update the base might. Into that first goal, maintaining a solid supply of use. I referenced the basin-wide accounting, and really important because it's fundamental to each of the plan's three goals. It's essential to quantifying the supplies and uses, goal number one. It does a lot of things to provide some consistency. As I said, because the plan kind of serves as an overall coordination amongst the 7 member NRDs and that consistency of accounting central from a base point. It's tied to the insight, county, consistency of the department, and their appropriate evaluation. There's not a device means of certainty that we use the same data to make a decision. It provides a tool for monitoring planning. We talk about different supplies and uses that nationwide accounting looks at different discrete uses. You can see, use it in monitoring, forecasting changes that supplies use to how that affects the overall balance. And then, as I said, it provides a framework to inform the individual IMD. So, wanted to, without getting in the weeds, hopefully, I want to talk about basically this nationwide accounting and what it does. It looks like a quantifies what an undepleted water supply would look like. That essentially removes the effects of man's activity, agriculture. There wasn't that in place. If there were no reservoirs, increased evaporation, what would the water supply be? And those terms on the left-hand side of that water supply. And then you look at the demands, and so you've got groundwater depletions, irrigated agriculture pumping, municipal well. You've got surface water demand in the Loop Basin. You know, there's several thousand acres of surface water. You've got some demands that you're responsible for downstream. Certainly, the lower Platte relies heavily on contributions from the lower Loop. What that says is essentially you can't zero out flows Loop Basin at the Platte. There's some responsibility or some historic flow that occurs before Platte pump upstream basin. And then the net surface water loss is just terms the conveyance loss of pit water. In the upper right-hand corner is a management recommendation. When the department goes through and looks at their supplies and uses, one of the demands that they look at is in-stream flow. Several appropriations over Platte that Game and Parks has required a minimum in-stream flow. That they place calls for limit use flows decline. When you look at comparing what that demand is to the historic flows at Lewisville, it's about 20% of what the historic flows have been. And in order for this first increment to be a little bit conservative, in other words, they wanted to be able to shut the barn door before all the cows got out. The manager said, let's maintain 40% stream flow. Let's use that as the thing. We're going to go above and beyond what statute appropriation says. So in our demand, the balance of supplies and demand, we've used 40% flow. And the basis for that is, you know, I kind of touched on this, is being a little bit conservative with some unknowns. Look at some of the drought, some of the climatic type uses, tools, or one of the level of conservative built into that. And so what we did is we essentially looked at those supplies and demands, and when supplies exceed demands, we have an excess supply. Theoretically, that would be available to new uses. And so what the management committee's recommendation is to take the 25-year average, look at this table, the 25-year average excess supply during the peak season, June, July, and August, is about 195,000 water. So that's supply in excess of the theoretical use. And they've said during this first five-year increment, we're going to allow 10% of that to be developed by the 7 members. Bracket, test out the accounting. It's a way to, again, responsibly allow some new uses to occur. And so that's what you see, the first 5 year increment from a basin-wide standpoint is the 19,500. Then they said, well, how are we going to divide that up amongst the seven member NRD? And it seemed logical what we did, and if you look on the left-hand side under the basin, they said, well, let's apportion it by each basin's contribution to the total supply. You look, the Loup Basin supplies about 44% of the flows that you see. The Elkhorn provides about 32%, and the Lower Platte, 23%. That data doesn't add up. But so then that's what you see in that far right column. That 19,000 is then apportioned 8,500 acre feet to the Loup Basin, 6,200 to the Elkhorn, and 4,800 to the Lower Platte. And that's going to be the allowable development that can occur during the first 5 years. Now, partitioning beyond that, it was kind of nice to do it on a basin level to get some gauge. You could look at supplies. You don't have gauges at each NRD boundary. And what the management committee said is, if you can get it to the basin level, we'll work with our member NRDs and our interlocal, and we'll take it from there. We've provided some information for various gauge locations, so we can have that to kind of inform the discussion. There's a couple things about this allowable development notes that we're going to use depletions, and just quickly, there's kind of two. When you look at irrigated agriculture, there's kind of two ways to represent work. That's why when you pump a well, it has an effect on the stream. And there's a time lag that can occur. So they always say the depletions is kind of the short-term effect, but ultimately that full effect of that pumping will be felt, which it could be hundreds of years. So we track both the full consumption use of that use as well as the depletion. Our recommendation and the management committee's recommendation is to use depletions as to track that. Most NRDs do that right now. They use depletions to evaluate applications for new uses. And as they prioritize where people add irrigated agriculture, the lower depletive effect is our priority. So we want to encourage that. And the lower depletive effect, of course, has less effect. So that's one of the reasons we are using depletion reporting, both our recommendation track. It avoids by putting a cap over the first increment, it kind of avoids this race to the bottom, I'm going to get mine first approach. It allows planning during the 5 year increment by having a cap, it allows for a carryover. The member NRD does not use the full amount in the next increment. If they look at supplies and use available, they would have that as credit going forward. That kind of ties into the water bank. Paul, just give me an idea of how that, what those numbers really mean. So that allowable depletion, again, we were looking at that peak season, June, July, August. One of the points is that when you pump a well, that effect is felt year round. A portion of it is felt during the pumping, but it continues to be felt throughout the year. So those depletion numbers I gave you, because they're based on peak season. So if we did an example, and I just threw this together, that if we assume that the first increment for the Papio Missouri River is 1,000 acre feet of, and that could be, that's their portion of the 4,771 from the previous slide, and maybe they decide they're going to put 500 aside and not bank it or put it off to the side. They're going to allow 1,000 acre feet of new use in the first 5 years. So then you could go through and look in that figure in the upper right-hand corner shows what the net corn crop irrigation requirement. You can see it varies quite a bit across your district, maybe up to an inch, about 6 inches to 7 inches, is what they're required. you use 6.5 inches on a parcel, it's a little over half a foot. And if you assume that that well has a 60% completion factor, which means that 60% of the water it pumps comes from stream flow, and 40% of that occurs during the peak season, your allowable new acres is about 7,600 acres. So that just gives you an idea of what 1,000 acres of allowable completion means for allowable development, at least for irrigated acres.
Just to credit both principles, that 7,500 would be over 5 years. And these aren't the actual numbers. We're three, four, five north, four, five south. Right now we're allowing 2,500 a year. We're a fair amount more. As we discuss, as this gets further along, we may.
Yeah, it would incorporate the perforation practice. So the benefits of that, the putting that cap on it, or what was considered by the manager making that practice. One, it provides a level of protection that existing uses are protected. The MUD and even water rights are protected. The existing irrigation loop base are protected. But it still allows to capitalize on some of those available water supplies to possibly add use. And kind of a baby step, the first increment, it does allow that. Provides a level of certainty and consistency in the basin-wide accounting. There's no consistent tracking and accounting that's being done by the individual entities. Really tough to evaluate the impact. It was a race to the bottom, and one of the concerns fans were allowed to exceed supply. They're basically declared fully appropriate, which in and of itself is. It's not the boogeyman, but it certainly complicates things, limits some of the flexibility that the individual RDs have regulated. It provides a level of protection. One of the big things we talked about was, you know, the NRDs can only complain and control what's under their jurisdiction. And without some sort of commitment by the NRDs and sort of agreement to DNR, DNR would have a tough time denying new surface. And so the recommendation and having sort of talk about a path forward for the interval agreement with the coalition members, just this power to manage our water supply, implies that the DNR has a means to say, we've made this commitment. New appropriation, they would need to consider those commitments. It provides the accounting basis, provides a way of setting up and crediting and tracking transfers, both in an individual NRD as well as across NRD boundaries. And it encourages cooperation between the NRDs. Projects coordinated balance. And then finally, I guess from a crediting standpoint, by placing a cap, kind of analogous to currency. If you don't have some sort of the quantifying and limiting commitment commitment to the allowable development of this increment is what really provides value and certainty that individual members have water will be there. There is value. It's not a risk. next steps is the draft plan review and comment, and the plan is on my desk. Be distributed as soon as possible. October 17th, as Paul said, we're meeting in Ord, and we're going to talk about the recommendations of the plan with the coalition board members. We'll be asking them to adopt the recommendation and talk about the path forward. That includes an interlocal agreement amongst these and the DNR. Those are some of the contents that would be in the members, the term of the agreement, the period of review, like county methodology, certainly the allowable development commitment, first increment, mechanism, banking, carrying over, allowable development, some other items in the
Did any of the directors have questions?
The development would be limited to the IMP area or within the IMP area?
Yeah, so that's all that's within the current case. Where would it apply? Wow. The numbers that John Trump is going to be still waiting on the crop, corn, farming. That's a stream depletion factor, how much our land, let's say, 4 miles away from the stream, how much that impacts the stream. A lot of the rest of that basin has a model that tells them that. The DNR's just completed our model, still working out that number. That number five. That's how they count. Good work. Good question, Eric. I think the information on the allowable would still be subject to each individual NRD's management, on our management. There's example in the Blue Basin, there's some, they would have to adhere to all their management.
Other questions or comments? So the next we'll hear on this will be a few months when we're asked to get into an interlocal agreement.
Yeah.
Assuming one can be drafted.
Okay. Seeing no other questions, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next is item 7, is a review and recommendation on Amendment 6 to the professional services contract with HDR. The Papio Dam Site 15A. It's Lori Laster and Lori Perret-Zook, please.
Good evening. Tonight we have before you Amendment 6 of the professional services contract for 15A. This phase of the contract covers contract administration and we've had a few factors that have been construction started right at the time of construction. While we were waiting for them, Bird's Nest developed on the bridge. And then probably the biggest is FEMA. As of 2 weeks ago, we had lost 13 days of the dirt moving construction time. That several more inches last week. So that just continues to be the contract. Yeah. Originally, we had substantial completion of October 1st and we have now moved that back to substantial completion of October 1st of 2017. The total increase is 191,000.
Chair, I'd entertain a motion.
A motion for staff recommendation.
Thank you. Is there a second, please?
Second.
Second by Director Keyser. Anyone in the public wish to speak? Seeing none, directors? Director Frost.
What were they doing during the rainy days that money couldn't be carried over into?
It has been carried over. So if you look at the memo, there's about 1,700 hours left to do. But there were about 1,200 hours contract, so that about 5.
The project site is very large. It was possible to and so when it didn't rain, they would put the area.
Lori, could you talk about the additional work to that we had HDR do for the review of the development and the Cleveland Boulevard and the pier and all those types of things that weren't originally
right.
anticipated?
So when we started the project, this area was outside of the development. And had developments pop up all around, which could affect some aspects of it, mainly. So we've had to have HDR on those issues. Like, we're not building a road that's self. If we do coordinate all of this, public dollars. So there are some additional dollars for that. Another item to note is rain permit maintenance. With all the rain that for a grading permit, it's actually and quite a few, and that will happen. There are some hours included for make sure that we're not.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Director Teaser.
Well, you showed me the picture of the bird, but I can't remember what species it was.
I think it was a robin.
A robin.
Really? Mm-hmm. Threatened and endangered?
They
just my retort.
Just
my
retort.
Okay.
It thinks that there's a nest that's occupied. So they're building it. Say what? Every other day.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Director Thompson.
Lori, you had mentioned some additional contract administration services. And obviously, there wasn't contract administration going on during the rainy days.
Yeah.
But and Lori explained part of that. But then you added the additional work, so I guess the hours are not only a little bit of during the rainy time, and also the additional services under the contract.
So the
and by the way, who are they when you say the nest has to come down? Perhaps it can be disturbed. Laura, you had said they said you can't disturb. Who are they?
Oh, it's mandatory work. It's federal.
Federal. Okay.
The Schwabs again.
So the contract administration part is not just the representative on site watching construction. There's also, you know, the pay applications where HR goes through the contract that they verify all that. So extending the contract 7 months, so 7 more times. Obviously,
and I notice also now at the bottom of the engineering fee estimate, there's an increase in the cost during this.
So when the contract was put together, it was early in 2015, and we had
but isn't that a risk you take when we enter the contract?
What we've been doing is our rate
when we awarded the contract, though, it was based on a certain price, and maybe you factor it in, maybe you don't.
We were hoping to be able to look at that.
I'm going to echo on what Jim was asking. Now, does that change only for the period of time of the extension? Isn't that rate fixed up until the point you go into the extension?
It's not always rate fixed for our billing rate.
And those individual rates are not spelled out in the contract. Okay, thank you. Any other questions or comments? I have one. Overall, what would you estimate the percent of completion to be?
I think we're about 65%.
Thank you. We have a motion on the floor. Roll call, please.
Yes.
All right.
Teller?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you. Now moving to a review and recommendation on interlocal agreement with Southern Sarpy Watershed Partnership. Lori Laster, please.
Okay. If you remember, back in 2 July, I gave a short presentation for on this new proposed partnership. And so I'll go over that again, just to refresh my memory. Started. In 2015, commissioned the Southern Bridge Wastewater Treatment Study. This study identified potential development outside of the Tokyo watershed without and so when they finished that study in 2016, identifying these new areas for community development, the community started to think along the line for more active measures. So we started to meet with the communities in this area, start to discuss how we would. The areas that we are talking about that we call the Southern Sarpy Watershed, anything that drains the Elk Horn or the Platte River. This is the dividing line from Southern Sarpy. The study identified development of Springfield Creek. water. Most of the communities in this area are members. They're familiar with this policy already. So we developed this mission statement to protect water. To address the issues related to water quality. So the partnership is comprised of local districts, city of Brentwood, city of Bellevue, city of Bellevue. So for all these meetings, we came up with this. We started a meeting for watershed. This area, unlike the watershed study, going back. There's just not that data. There's a few reports. There's some floodplain mapping. That's about this. And we know that urban growth is already the things that adding them. So we know that, so the plan is to be proactive. Let's develop a management prior to developing them and make sure that we are keeping in mind any else. So we looked at the Apio watershed policy and kind of adapted them. Some things we the six policies of water quality improvement, peak flow reduction, landscape preservation, erosion sediment control, flood management, all of that. Here we have a comparison of policy. Watershed. Again, the water quality improvement is happening. Hold on tight. That's very strong. Peak flow reduction is where we see the biggest change. In the patio, we see that significant redevelopment has to make redevelopment. And then we have this regional plan as well. We don't have that in this watershed, so we are requiring all new developments to maintain or reduce. Landscape preservation is a setback requirement. In the patio, it's three times channel depth along major streams. Because of the nature of soils, the 31 plus 50 will apply to the policy. Erosion and sediment control is pretty much a state federally required mandate for drainage permits and development of stormwater controls that we don't. Floodplain management, biggest thing we will limit. But because of the lack of we are required to if there is no payment. And then the stormwater management finance and the capital of our tax dollars building and water quality. And that kind of is not. So we will be collecting the same fees phases. The first phase will be focused on Buffalo's including a preliminary assessment baseline model. The initial funding is for one third of the cost of development will be through watershed. And then the two thirds cost, initially for the planning effort concept. So the schedule of fees, we estimate that initially we would get about $100,000 per year for new development, and these are the same rates. $100,000 per $3,800 that is actually is that and these are the perfect contributions that initially at the district which they want to and then like county have a percent. The next step, so before you tonight, we have the interlocal agreement. It outlines the fees collected, the water policies that are to be adopted, such as the CAPI agreement, the district agreement, and the agency partnership. As well as we will take our as well. Agreement does outline all of the contributions for the partners as well. It is a 3-year agreement. Initially, 5 years after. Again, because of the issue that all the communities with the exception are part of the planning process, we're trying to keep things very. Same schedule, the same work, and the same regulation. They're not trying to play it as trying to regulate.
Let's get a motion on the table before we get into questions and discussion. Chair, to entertain a motion.
Second.
A motion and second has been made. Anyone in the public wish to speak to this? Seeing none, directors?
Who made the second?
Who made the second?
Director Bonner.
You're not on the
committee. You have to get with committee members.
Can I have a second from a committee member?
I second. Oh, excuse me.
A committee member second.
Yes. Tim, myself.
Tim Fowler.
Tim Fowler seconded. Thank you, Tim. Okay. Questions and discussion by board members? Tim Fowler, please.
Just a clarification. So if I understand the contributions that
we will stay at that one-third, the 33%, as this goes forward. And as Sarpy County, as the other entities, for example, Gretna, as they grow, that 5% they are at right now, that will reduce Sarpy County's, and theirs will, their piece will grow. Okay, thank you.
So, and that will be looked at on an annual basis. Their boundaries quite a bit.
Yeah. I bet they are. Okay, thank you.
Lori, what's going on? This is wastewater. What's going on in the way of looking at drinking water supply to this area of Sarpy County? Okay, good answer. Okay, thank you. Anyway, any other questions or comments? Yes, Director Thompson.
Thursday, we're going to appoint an ad hoc salt and selection committee for the Southern Sarpy Watershed Partnership Request for RFP, which implements this if it's a, well, assuming everyone approves it. All right. HDR just came up with the fact sheets as a small contract, I assume.
Yeah, small contracts are going to help facilitate the initial meeting and policy development.
Okay, and then secondly, on the, you know, looking at Gretna and the watersheds here, Gretna's cut in thirds, I guess, Panther Creek watershed, Buffalo Creek, and I guess that'd be Platte River watershed. I'm assuming whoever plots development in Gretna will look at that map and not charge this person a fee. Well, especially two-thirds of it's going to be hit with a fee, whether it's Papio or Southern Sarpy watershed. Is that correct?
No, actually, so all the communities have agreed to implement fees in the entirety
of their jurisdiction.
Sarpy watershed. And so the policies and the fees will be implemented everywhere. The initial planning will just focus on.
Well, eventually.
So those who want to develop on in the Platte River watershed on the western edge of Gretna will pay the fee, even though it doesn't apply, assuming their city council approves it and all that.
Okay.
Thanks.
Other questions or comments? Yes, Director Bonnet.
Would this partnership take on any responsibilities for monitoring any of the wells within the zone or engage in any well protection activities?
Not at focus that
stormwater. Any other questions or comments? Seeing none, roll call on the motion, please.
Right, Conley.
Aye.
Fowler.
Yes.
Easer.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
And
Chair. Yes. Thank you. Now, moving ahead to item 9 is a review and recommendation on bids for 2017 district vehicles and equipment. Nicole Gust.
So I am here with a review recommendation for the district vehicles and we had 4 items up for bid. We had a 2017 John Deere 2017 mower for all of the 2016 and the informal bids for facility work through. The formal bids we have
That was on September 4th. Specifications for formal bids and the informal bid item A's questions of and that would be
Do we should we take these? What's the choice of the committee? Do you want to take them one time or do you want to take them individually?
One at a time.
One at a time? Did I hear? Okay, well, okay. Chair would entertain a motion on item bids on the John Deere.
Post staff recommendation.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Discussion by the public or directors? Director Thompson.
I know when we discussed it at budget time, and I can't remember this particular item, I don't have my notes in front of me, but the trade-in allowance on this is $53,000. That appears to me to be like a pretty good price for something. Why are we buying a new one again? Can you tell me why?
Bill, do you want to?
Bill's here. Bill can tell me.
Thank you, Bill. All right. Thank you to us. Bill, for the tape, identify yourself, will you please?
Bill Moore, thank you, Interview. Good evening. It's a 1998 John Deere. By the end of the year, I'll have my $5,600.
Yeah.
And 18 years old. It's been needing some transportation in the area. Engine might be there. We got a real good trade.
Any other questions or comments?
Is this the original engine? Is this the original engine?
That's pretty good. Well, and kudos to Bill and Seth. We get good trading since they keep care of their equipment. It's constantly maintained, it's kept up, and so that obviously helps on the back end, as well as extending it 18 to 20 years, but then when you get a good trade-in as well. So.
I'm guessing that, if I might.
Go ahead, sure.
I'm guessing that whoever might buy this from the dealer might not use as much as we would perhaps use. I don't know. It's just speculation. All right, thanks.
Okay, great. Roll call on the motion, please.
Fowler.
Yes.
Either.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Aye. Yes. Now moving to the next item, please.
Next item is the vehicle. It is 2017.
I move staff recommendation.
Is there a second, please?
Second.
Anyone in the public wish to speak? Seeing none, directors? Seeing none, roll call, please. You got to speak up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I keep getting bombarded with Ford ads, usually from Baxter. Any indication why they didn't bid on this?
Probably in the middle of the buyout. Sold out the window.
Yeah.
dasher or something.
When these notes trucks have 100,000 miles, trucks leaves, they're just please, they're not going and moving equipment, bears are out in the field, let this be transduced today. I mean, take especially trailers, payloaders.
No, I'm just stuck, Bill. I'm just talking about why. You know, we got only two bids on this.
Well, that's why these guys, but if they come up from the past, look.
Okay.
Acres wore out. They don't want to bid one.
Okay. All right.
They can still bid the new one, but they know somebody will give a trade.
They don't want to trade it. They probably wouldn't trade it.
Okay. Any other discussion? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
McDonald.
Aye.
Fowler.
Yes.
Sure.
Yes. Go ahead. What's the next one, please?
Next piece. For more. And that was
is there a second, please?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Anyone in the public wish to speak? I note that one of these bids didn't meet specs because it's a year old. It's a year old model, apparently in inventory.
Yeah, the request for bids for 2007. So the other.
Why are we specifying only a Rhino mower as opposed to John Deere, Cat, whatever? I don't know who makes mowers, but. Why are we going with the brand X here?
We've been using Rhino mowers. We have parts for all of them. We have a parts.
Our employees service them, and then so I mean, typically we service them in the winter, and obviously they've worked on those for.
Good to hear. Thank you. Any other
questions? Bill, this is the mower that you had at Sokol on the night for a few days. Yeah, it was getting pretty beat up. I have to admit, it was going somewhere.
What are they mowing at Sokol for you?
Hey, Sokol Camp gave a free easement to the NRV. My God.
Oh, that's nice. Sure. Okay, thank you.
No name.
All right. Any other discussion on this? Roll call, please.
Thompson.
Yes.
Fred Conley.
Aye.
Fowler.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
And the chair.
Yes. And the final one, please.
Is it 2017 utility? That will be received. We received four.
Would you clarify, please? My list shows three bids. You said four. Did I miss? Is there something I don't understand?
No, it was three bids.
Okay, thank you. Chair, to entertain a motion.
Staff recommendation.
Thank you.
Anyone in the public wish to speak? Seeing none, directors? Roll call, please.
Aye.
Fowler.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
And Chair.
Yes. Thank you, Nicole. Thank you. Now,
thanks, Bill.
Huh? and Bill, too. Next is review on and recommendation on the 2017 long-range implementation. Eric Williams, please. Good evening.
This is the annual update to the long-range implementation plan, which shows the district's current activities, personnel needs, kind of an update and status of all programs and projects, and then a projection for the next 5 years on district expenditures and district revenues. Let's start at the front there. First several pages are all kind of a formality describing things that are happening in the district. This year we had staff changes. Those have been incorporated. One director change mid-year, that's been updated as well. And then kind of an overview of the district. There's some maps, all that background information. And then it gets into the descriptions of all of the programs and projects. And that starts on page 13. Well, it's listed as number 13 on the bottom of the page themselves. And so this, again, highlights all of the programs and projects that the district undertakes. As outlined in the policy manual and in the budget. The project number, program number associated in the description here under called section 3 is then reflected in all of the tables in the back. That was an update we made last year, so it's easier to reference between written descriptions and tables in the back. A lot of the programs and projects have continued as they have in the past. There have been some year-over-year updates to descriptions of what's going on. The major effort that we are projecting for major planning process and projecting forward, the Southern Starkey Watershed Partnership has been listed. That appears under the Urban Stormwater Program. There's a little written description of how that came about. It's number 18, the Urban Stormwater Program. There's not a lot of activity in the partnership yet, but that hasn't really begun to move forward. But the written description of the partnership in the on page 21, the urban stormwater. Bill, if we can flip over to page 37. For everyone else, that's number 36 on the bottom, Bill's one page. So on page 36, that's numbered, number one is the land rights needs. This is taken from the budget, what we are expecting to be purchasing in terms of either easements or fee title land current year. Next page. Do you have any questions on this? Take questions. Next table is the personnel needs, and that is projected out 5 years, so it shows current amount of work month of staff time in the next 5 years, and we're projecting similar amounts of staff time over the next few years. It changes slightly year to year. There's some increases in the kind of ongoing maintenance operations as larger land area is taken to be maintained. Some things are turned over and the responsibility there, but in general, it's pretty constant. Personnel needs. Next page, two pages down, table 3. Table 3 shows the current year and the breakdown of costs for personnel, operating costs, professional services, land rights, and then construction costs. And these numbers are taken from the current fiscal year 2017 budget, and total across the right is kind of a total expected for each of those programs, projects. Again, the number on the left matches back to written description in the earlier part of the document. If you want to read a bit more about this in one of these projects. Bill, from us, table 4. Table 42 is the first column is 2017, and that's the totals from the previous table. Meaning all of the costs associated with any of the programs and projects in the current fiscal year, and then projected forward 5 years. Here you can see again what the current expenditures are and those from the budget, and what we're expecting to be the expenditures over the next 5 years. The a major effort, that a major funding source of expenditure in the district is some of the watershed dam projects. And so lines 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9 reflect projects that are currently ongoing. The BP5 is actually Prairie Queen now. That one has been in the past, has a little bit of funding allocated this year, but it has turned over. So we don't expect that will continue to be expenditure in the district moving forward. 15A, most of the construction will be completed by the end of fiscal 2017, so a large portion of funding is still shown in the current fiscal year budget. Some will be carried over and projected to be carried over 2018. WB 6 and 7 are shown. Activities started there. Guarantee Basin 2 also has a expenditure in the current budget year. And then the other large project going on, the Missouri River Levy Certification, has a budget number this year, $8,013,000, so that's $8,050,000. And then a projection of about half the remaining cost in each of 2 years. Those numbers will be firmed up as we get into the budget process in the coming years. Line number 4 is what's called Pillion Street and Tributaries Project. That currently has some funding allocated, but you can see out into the future it has an increase in funding. That represents the projected expenditure on watershed projects that have not yet been specifically identified, but are expected to be designed, land acquired, and constructed during the next five-year period. As those move from just part of the overall watershed plan and projects, it will be given a line item, dollar amount, and then written description. So, a large portion of future spending does appear under still called half clean free tributaries project, especially 3, 4, and 5. So, pick down a couple pages, table 5. There we go. Okay, so this is the projected revenues. This one compares back to the previous table 4, which is expenditures. This one shows sources of revenue, basically everything that would bring money into the district. Cash on hand is funding that is carried over from 1 year to the next budget year. And the first one there is based on the current budget, as well as the property tax. And all of the funding sources in the 2017 column come out of the budget line item. Everything 2018 and forward, based on projections of what we think will happen. A lot of those are based on agreements. So on the first page here, Missouri River Levy Certification, we have agreements for funding sources that carry forward 4 years. So those are all. Some of the others are smaller dollar amounts, and those are based on projections of what we think will be coming down, or long-term, maybe local or agreements indicate revenue. And then if you look all the way down to the end of the last table, the bottom line essentially shows the total revenues from this table match against the total expenses. And you can compare that back to table 4. So the expenses are carried forward and our revenues are projected to match across here to meet all of the needs. We have great detail on the 2017 category, 2018, some detail on projects currently ongoing, and then more projections on 2019. So, if there are any questions about the 5-year time period covered by the hour, I'd like to those for approval.
The chair would entertain a motion on this.
Staff recommendation.
I'll second.
We have a second. Anyone in the public wish to speak on this?
Sean Lotz, 10404 North 132nd Street. As we were going through this budget, I guess I had a question on the personnel needs on page 37. You have no work months designated to Zirinsky Basin number 2, but you have some pretty significant costs on that one. So you may want to update that. The other item is on page 17. It's noted that WP7, according to the language, that it's expected to have construction in 2018, but that's inconsistent with the Pavilion Creek Watershed Partnership Plan. Has there been a plan update on that? Because according to the plan, the target time was 2021. And if there has been one, I'd like to get a copy of it.
Right. Yeah. So we're acquiring land right now for those, or have acquired properties. Those.
Right. So can I get a copy of the updated plan?
Yeah, the amended plan, sure.
And then also on page 41, I know you had just mentioned that the Papillion Creek tributaries and tributary projects, I'd like to get specific where you came up with the 13 million, the 7.7. There has to be some type of plan for those. Otherwise, it shouldn't be in here, in my opinion.
Yeah, and they're estimates for land acquisition and design. So, I mean, we'll give you what we've come up with an estimate.
But yeah, at least the project areas where you're assuming you're going.
They're the rest of the reservoirs in the partnership plan.
Okay. But specifics would be appreciated. The other question I had on page 43 is on the IPA projected expenditures. I believe they should be exactly the same as the IPA projected and on your expenditures here on all the IPAs. They should correlate and agree to that.
We're advancing IPA some money on that. They won't be this.
They are supposed to be fee-based.
Here's you want to answer that, John?
Well, for example, the Pigeon IPA is we advanced 100-some thousand, so their revenue will not equal their expenditures.
Well, I would imagine that.
So that they all won't add up exactly. So, but we'll look at it again before we submit it.
All the rural water should.
Yeah, the revenues and expenses should add up.
They don't.
Thank you. Any other comments from the public? Seeing none, directors.
Just a quick note. If you look at the total expenditures from 17 to 21, you can see how they significantly decrease. You're talking 70,000 to 55 to 52 to 38. So sometimes when you hear that your budget's out of line or out of whack, that again is tied significantly to the bonded revenue that was there for 15A. Once that project's complete, you will actually see expenditures drop over that time frame, unless, of course, there's an influx of other funds, if it's grant funds or if it's federal funds or state funds or whatever. So, again, we're anticipating or we're projecting a 1.5% increase in assessed value. And we've had a little over 3% this year, so very conservative estimates on all of this. And as Eric said, once you get past the first couple of years, it gets real fuzzy on the projections. So it is a best guess. It's a best estimate to try to determine where you may be.
And the levy certification project also large revenue shown.
And this other comment that this long haul is called a long range implementation plan. It's essentially a long term budget. It's forecasting our financial needs as well for the future. And this is the way we approach that. And so it is an estimate. It's we're looking 5 years down the road. So things can change. Thank you, Eric, for this. Do we have a motion on the floor on this?
Yes.
Any other discussion by board members? Roll call, please.
Peter.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Rick Conlon.
Aye.
Allen.
Yes.
Interpreter.
Yes, and that completes our agenda, and we are adjourned.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.